Hey everyone, it's me, Daisha, coming to you from Pillow Fort Studios. How are things going out there with everybody? They look suspiciously the same here every single day. I mean, what day is it even? But it's okay. It's all for the good of humanity, and one day soon we will be free like birds again. Speaking of travel, the episode you're about to hear is all about the music of migration. The migration of people, actually. Composer Derek Bermel and I cover a lot of ground in this episode, so pack your bags and close your eyes and imagine waiting in an airport security line and then going somewhere that is not your house. And when you come back from your journey, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, because that's the first thing you think of when you come back from travel. Oh, and by the way, this episode of Classical Classroom is brought to you by Encoda. There's a rumor going around that classical music can be hoity-toity. But here in the classical classroom, we beg to differ.
Beethoven 5.
The idea that classical music is a zone where we have to feel restricted or we have to act in a certain way, you know, that's not going to be helpful going forward.
Isaiah is shaking with excitement here.
I mean, there's just so many great parts of the opera.
He asked me to play his favorite spot in the first movement of the Brahms. He said, I started using those licks in my guitar solos.
How to be classical music rock stars, because there's not enough of that in this business.
Occasionally, I would plug in the mandolin to my distortion pedals.
I don't change my voice.
And talking to classical music.
I'm playing classical music now. I mean, it's the same 12 notes. That's what's so cool about it.
I'm Daisha Clay, a classical music newbie, and I'm trying to learn all I can about the music. Come learn with me and the classical music experts I invite into the Classical Classroom. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Classical Classroom. I'm Daisha Clay, and here with me today is composer and clarinetist Derek Bermel. He's the artistic director of the American Composers Orchestra and was recently composer in residence with the Seattle Symphony. He's also an Academy Award winner, super cool, and he's known for his interest in and work with the music of other cultures. He's traveled all over the place, soaking up the musical traditions as he goes. And relatedly, today he's going to teach us about some of the music on his new album, which is called Migrations, which just received a Grammy nomination in the Best Contemporary Classical Composition category. Derek, congratulations, and also welcome to the Classical Classroom.
Thanks so much.
So I know that this album is inspired by three artists' journeys. Can you briefly tell us who those three artists are or were?
Well, Migration Series was inspired by the work, also called the Migration Series, by Jacob Lawrence, the great American Harlem Renaissance artist and painter who painted this epic 60 painting series in 1940 to 41. Mar de Setembro is a song cycle for the great Brazilian singer Luciana Souza, and it's based on poems by Eugenio de Andrade, who's a Portuguese poet. A Shout, a Whisper, and a Trace is a work based on the letters written home from New York to Budapest, Hungary, by the great Hungarian-American, at the end of his life, composer Béla Bartók.
Yeah, and I kind of want to hone in on that last piece a little bit, because we haven't talked about Bartók a whole lot on this show, but he's got a really interesting story. Can you just tell me a little bit about who Bartók was?
Sure. Well, Bartok was a composer and pianist, a terrific pianist, who was really known for working with vernacular music in his home country, which was Hungary. He traveled all around, and he recorded much of the folk music in Hungary at the time, and also in other countries like Romania and Bulgaria. And then he incorporated those sounds, those melodies, those rhythms, those chords into his music, which was written primarily for classical instrumentations like the orchestra and the string quartet.
Was that sort of a, were people doing anything like that at the time? Was this like a sort of, was this like a new thing that he was doing?
Well, you know, Bartok had a brand new invention which helped him. You know, Mozart and Beethoven and many, many composers from the past were always interested in vernacular music. There was always a kind of parallelism. And even if you look at music being written by medieval composers in the West, there was always this parallelism. And even if you look at music written in India or in China, there was quite often a classical tradition at the same time as there was a more vernacular tradition.
Oh, okay. That's what you mean by parallelism, the kind of those two strains going on at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like of a more popular kind of folk music thing and then a more kind of high art tradition.
Exactly, yes. And those always existed together, the kind of folk songs and then the music that was like a more classical written out music, more high art music, as you said. But what Bartok had that these other composers from the past didn't have was he had a brand new invention, which was the recorder. And so he was able to bring, he was able to make these wax cylinders as he went around, and he was able to actually record the sound of people doing the folk music. And so that allowed him to do further analysis on the music and to notate it.
Okay.
So he was armed with a brand new technological invention.
Okay. So, and then, so he brings that home and he studies it and then begins to incorporate it into the classical music work that he's doing.
Yes. And I think, you know, sometimes these things in with artists, they just work in mysterious ways. I don't know whether he was interested in that, and then, you know, one thing kind of feeds the other. So it's hard to say that he went home and then wrote this, or he wrote that and then went out and changed it, or, you know, but it's just that process of working, of that he was always recording, notating, and then also writing classical kind of concert music. And those things at the same time created a brand new language.
That is super cool. And I want to hear more about it, actually. But first, let's take a short break. Hey, psst. Come here. Lean in. Closer. Okay, that's too close. I want to tell you about this thing I discovered called Encoda. It's an app, a digital sheet music subscription, kind of like subscribing to Netflix or Apple Music or something. But instead of getting access to TV shows and music, you get access to a veritable cornucopia of sheet music. You can download it. You can write on it. You can share notes with your students or your ensemble, make playlists, and best of all, you can do this in the dark on your tablet or computer. Can paper do that? I don't think so. Intrigued? Start a free trial today. Just go to your app store, download it, and give it a shot. Just look for it, Encoda, N-K-O-D-A. Okay, now go get him, Tiger. Rawr. This episode of Classical Classroom is sponsored by Maestro Classics. They're the creators of Stories and Music, which is this recorded series that they made for kids and families. It's won more than 50 awards. Not to mention general adoration from the people who listen to it. It features the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and it takes those musical stories and it like brings them to life. It's one of those things where kids learn while they're having fun without actually knowing that they're learning. And there's an activity book that goes along with it. It's a whole thing. Maestro Classics just announced a brand new recording in this series called Bach and the Organ. It's all about J.S. Bach, who you may have heard of on this very show, and it tells the story of his life while talking about the pipe organ, which, P.S., back in the day, was the most advanced mechanical instrument that had ever existed. And you can learn more about this album and the rest of the series at maestroclassics.com. And, wait for it, you can also save 17% off of your order by using coupon code CLASSROOM. Yay! Okay, so before the break, we were talking about the inventive things that Bartok was doing, but what brought him to America? Why did he come here?
Well, what was happening in Europe at the time was that the Nazis were starting to move into Prague. At the time, he came to the U.S. in 1940, and if you think about that year, they had invaded Hungary, and he felt that his life was in danger. And as an artist and somebody who was making music that would probably not be approved of by the official censors, so he fled to New York. And he had been in the States before to teach piano, but he had never moved. Now, ironically, he came through Portugal, which is the country of the poet that is also on this disc, Eugenio de Andrade. But he fled through Europe, all the way through Western Europe, and ended up in Portugal, and then took a boat across to the States. They lost his luggage, so he ended up in New York by himself and had to try to kind of make his way in a new place.
Well, and what about his story inspired you? Like, what about his time in New York kind of connected with you personally?
Well, you know, I'm a native New Yorker, so people have always been asking me to write New York-themed pieces, or to make something that's about New York, to write a song or a piece of music that relates to New York, because I'm from here. But I have always felt strange, because I could never really see New York somehow. It was so ingrained into who I was. But then, as I started to read Bartok's letters that he wrote home to Hungary from New York, I started to feel that I could suddenly see New York now through the eyes of somebody who wasn't from here. And that helped me, it inspired me to write this piece.
Well, like, what was going on with him, though? What was it about those letters that made you kind of go, like, I don't know? What made you want to write music about somebody's letters?
Well, he was writing home to his son or to his colleagues who were other composers or other friends. And he was writing about how confusing New York was. He was trying to get around on the subway and the cars honking. And then he couldn't, and, you know, all these different aspects of New York that felt so chaotic to him, but which are For us New Yorkers, this just daily life. It's just part of the rush and tumble of things in New York. But for him, it was very confusing and disorienting. And so I tried to communicate some of that. In the first movement, I try to communicate some of that chaos, and that's why you have a feeling of this Hungarian folk music, Eastern European folk music mixed with jazz. But then in the second movement is a kind of a quiet movement, and I thought of the still of the night sometimes in New York, you know, in those few kind of quiet moments. And I live in Brooklyn, which is a little bit quieter than Manhattan. So Bartok himself was living for a while in Queens, so there must have been some of those quiet moments which he used to evoke in his night music pieces, and so I tried to do that. And then in the last movement, I felt like the ghosts of all the people who come to New York. There have been so many immigrants who've come to New York over the many, many years and many generations, like my family who came to New York and settled there and tried to make sense of it. And I thought about, once I was wandering, I was walking around the streets of New York late at night, and I thought about all the ghosts who are walking around New York, and I thought about them walking in the streets with me, and that kind of inspired the last movement.
So what is it about these migration stories that made you want to write these pieces now? Like, what inspired you about all of these artists' journeys?
Well, you know, America is a country of immigrants. My father was an immigrant, and of course, my whole family were immigrants. So I think, you know, this country is a country of people who all come from somewhere else. And so there is always that feeling of homesickness, of transitoriness. And that is so much a part of the DNA of our country, of people who come from somewhere else to settle here and who have to deal with all the confusing things about being in a new place and dealing with a new environment and new people. And then there's a kind of homesickness for the old country too. At the same time as you may have left a place to get away from it, then so that kind of memory goes back generations. And I think that's a uniquely American kind of story. This story of migration and immigration. And so I think that's really what informed putting all these pieces together into this album, which I feel very grateful that the Albany Symphony recorded so beautifully, and the Juilliard Jazz Band, and these wonderful soloists. I feel very grateful to them for bringing this work to life.
Yeah, I feel like all of that, to journey far from home, and the sort of hope inherent in making that decision, and like the homesickness that comes with that. You really hear that in this music. Derek Rommel, thank you so much for being on the Classical Classroom today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, that does it for this episode of Classical Classroom. For more Classroom, go to classicalclassroomshow.com. Find all of our social media links there. Listen to every episode we've ever made. Even make a financial gift to the show. What? Don't forget to subscribe to, rate, and review the show. Thanks to the home of Classical Classroom, King FM, where everyone is working their buns off to keep the music going. Thanks to the birthplace of Classical Classroom, Houston Public Media. Thank you to the online meeting platform for Classical Classroom, awkwardconversationwithbadvideo.com, where you can technically have a meeting, but mostly you just see your coworkers' pores up close. Thanks to Derek Rommel for being on the show today. Thanks to me for saying words. But most of all, thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you next time.